50 years ago this month, the U.S. Navy ordered all lines cast off a vessel that would change the nature of warfare.
The submarine Nautilus, ready to go to sea. The heartbeat of history pulsates in its reactor generating plant. For the first time, the atom propels man.
The Nautilus is now a floating museum in Groton, Connecticut. Those sailors still alive to remember that maiden voyage gathered in Groton this past fall to celebrate their 50th reunion. Reporter Susan Perrin was there.
Seeing old friends at a 50th reunion is a milestone event for anyone. And for the Nautilus veterans, who made history together on the first nuclear-powered vessel in the world, it was no different. Retired Engineman First Class Jack Curris.
Some of these guys are up in their 80s. I don't think any of us sit around and say, gee, we did it. Nobody says that. The ship and what we did, well, that's what we were paid to do, and we had a lot of fun doing it.
From the get-go, Nautilus proved worthy of her motto, the first and finest. Nautilus underwent extensive trials and evaluation exercises against other ships to test the new nuclear technology. Her first commander, 87-year-old retired Vice Admiral Eugene Wilkinson, says the results were striking.
We always won. We never lost, not once. 100% winners. That's easy to tie, but hard to beat. When they shoot 5,500 weapons at you and never hit you, you must be doing something right.
Diesel submarines used in World War II were in reality surface ships that submerged on battery power. They surfaced to recharge, making them vulnerable to detection and attack. Nautilus was the first true submarine. With her limitless power supply and ability to make oxygen and purified water from seawater, she had only one limitation, food. Retired Vice Admiral Wilkinson.
Eventually, they would have to run their diesel. And when they did, Michaud, my sonarman, would hear them, and we'd sneak up on them, and the world was ours.
The Nautilus crew was handpicked by Admiral Hyman Rickover, the driven engineering genius and legendary father of the nuclear Navy. Retired senior chief electronic technician and leading petty officer of the Reactor Control Division, William O'Halloran.
Well, I think probably Rickover is the best, and he said that this was the first of a kind, and we know there's going to be changes. If you teach the man the theory, he can go aboard any new one. The theory doesn't change, only the application of it. So it was great. That's why we were in school for so long.
Nautilus's most secret mission, Operation Sunshine, undertaken in August of 1958, made her the first vessel in the world to travel under the North Pole. With the launch of Sputnik, the Soviet Union dominated the space race. Operation Sunshine began as a publicity stunt to secure the United States' technological prowess. Sherry Sontag is co-author of Blind Man's Bluff, The Untold Story of American Submarine Espionage. She says, ironically, the ability to travel under the ice for long spans pioneered by Nautilus became vital in fighting the Cold War.
In a first strike, whoever started it could pretty well be guaranteed that the other side could launch nuclear weapons right back and pretty much wipe out the land-based capability, which meant the only capability surviving would be the underwater capability.
Once the Soviets learned how easily the U.S. was trailing their subs, they pulled them back under the Arctic ice. Here, the distortions of the salinity layers, animal life, and the ice itself created the perfect place to hide their missile subs and to launch a possible strike. Tracking a sub under the ice remains difficult to this day, but the work started by Nautilus was critical in preventing the Soviets from using the Arctic to steal the definitive edge in the Cold War.
He who could find somebody amid that funhouse, that horrible mishmash of sound effects, could ultimately win the Cold War. And in the end, the legacy of the Nautilus is a very important part of our history. It was the beginning of something that was as technologically daunting as going into space, even more so. And we did it first.
Perhaps because Nautilus never saw combat, her men are reluctant to call themselves heroes. But a significant part of the United States' national security, and almost all civilian nuclear reactors in the world today, are based on the technology they pioneered and the frontiers they explored. For NPR, I'm Susan Perrin.
Photos of the USS Nautilus and the reunion are at npr.org. You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.